I want you to open your Bibles for a verse that I want to give you, and go right back to the book of Lamentations, if you would, and right back to chapter 3. And I want to show you a verse. This is a wonderful, wonderful book. And I've never preached from the whole book of Lamentations, but I've been reading it here the last few days, and it has definitely kind of whetted my appetite. It is such a bountiful portion of Scripture. But I want to go back to the third chapter and give you, I'll give you two verses. Verses 37 and 38. And here the prophet of God says, "Who is he that saith, and it comes to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not?" That is, you know, men say, women say, we all say, "Well, I'm going to do thus and so tomorrow." Well, only if the Lord has commanded it will you do it. And this shows the government of our God over all things. Men do indeed propose what they're going to do in the next coming days or weeks or years. Well, it'll only be done if God commands it. And then watch this 38th verse. "Out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good." Now, you got to keep this together with what he's just asked in the previous verse. God, he commands evil and he commands good. In fact, that's exactly what Job said to his wife when she and Job had experienced the loss of all 10 of their children, and then Job lost his good health, and she advised him, "Just curse God and die." And he said, "What? Shall we receive good at the hands of God and not evil also? Shall we receive only the things that we like? and not also receive and acknowledge the wisdom of God in giving to us those things that we don't care for. All things do indeed proceed from our God. And we are of such a feeble-mindedness and lack of spirituality and lack of understanding the Godhead that the ways of God are, Paul says in Romans 11, they're past finding out. And there's got to come a point in the life of a child of God when you perceive the things that are happening, and though it's not the way you would have them to be, yet you've got to acknowledge this is the way God would have things to be, to fulfill His hidden purpose. And so I bow to His will. And that's the attitude all of us as the people of God have got to have. He gives both good and evil. And that which men, that which they say they're going to do, they'll only do it if God commands it. If God hasn't commanded it, He just keeps it from ever happening. And if you really want to have your mind totally boggled, can you ever possibly imagine how many things our God has stopped from happening? Oh, men have proposed to do something, and our God says, no, no, no. I'm so thankful God reigns. This is a soft pillow upon which to lay my weary head at night. Oh, the blessedness of the promises of God. Well, let's have our scripture reading. Brother Joe's going to read to us, and he's going to read the second chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians. That's 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Our Father, we do approach thy throne this evening, pleading only the blood and the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we confess that we're sinners, that there's nothing good in us, from the tops of our head to the soles of our feet, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. There's nothing that would cause you to look favorable upon us in ourselves. But we do look to that one that is holy and pure and righteous, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do ask this evening to be with our pastor as he comes and opens this book one more time and shows us Christ in the Scriptures and shows us the good news, the gospel in our Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the good news. He is the only place that we can find this good news. It's only in him. Father, we do pray for all your preachers this day that stand and proclaim your word to your people, wherever they are. And Father, we do ask for the sick and afflicted, if it be thy will, to raise them up, to come and hear this grand and glorious gospel one more time. And Father, we do give you thanks for all things are of your hand. All these things we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his sake and his honor and his glory we ask. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. This morning, just before I left the house to come to the building, I knew that a dear friend of mine was going to be preaching this morning, and I sent him a text to... my goal was to encourage him as he stood before a few people and expounded the Word of God and said before them the gospel of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And I said, whenever I step before people, there are three things I try to always be conscious of. First of all, I always want to seek God's glory. The scripture says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. We met this morning, have a few of us here this evening to meet, and we're certainly thankful for those who are joining us by way of the internet, and then there'll be people who listen to these CDs or watch the DVDs later on. I want you to be very much aware that that which we seek to do in everything in this building is honor God. That's what we're seeking to do. It's the reason we stay with His Word. The second thing I told him that I always try to be conscious of, and that is to exalt the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there is no gospel unless we preach Christ and Him crucified. Unless we set forth the Lamb of God. And I encouraged him to do that. You know, when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 where Paul said, we preach Christ, doesn't mean that he just dropped his name every once in a while. That isn't what it means. Because there are people in false religion who frequently use the name of Jesus, but they really don't preach Jesus Christ. Christ and Him crucified. Our Lord Jesus and His work of redemption, that is not the theme of our ministry. That is our ministry. That's our message. He's our message. Somebody. And we need to always remember that. We meet to honor somebody and what that somebody did. And I'm always conscious of that. I'm always very much aware of that. And to be honest with you, when I listen to somebody speak, that's what I'm listening for. Because I want them to talk about the one that saved me, the one who died for me, the one who laid down His life to save this poor sinner. That's what I'm listening for. And a man can say a lot of other things that could be beneficial to a hearer, but ultimately, no real spiritual benefit is going to come to anybody unless we exalt and magnify that glorious person and His sacrificial work of redemption, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, you got to do that. Be consciously very much aware that you're doing that. And really, those of us who preached a while, it ought to come to us, I hope you understand this, naturally. That's what we do. But I always want to make sure I'm doing it. And then the third thing I told him that I want him to be conscious of, because I am. And I have a little bit of experience in this. What I'm conscious of is I want to help people. I want to help you. You're making your pilgrimage to the land of promise. You're making a journey, and you're in the wilderness. I sure had best be giving to you the bread of life and the water of life. I want to help you. It's always my goal. If we're not helping people, it really isn't much use in being here. We've got to exalt God. We've got to magnify Christ Jesus. And we've got to help people. People want to be ministered to. Say something, preacher, that'll be of some help to me when I leave here tonight. Something I can sink my teeth into. Something I can lay hold of as being beneficial to me. That's what we've always got to do. And I have confidence in the fella. I believe he set that forth as his goal this morning. I hope he did. I'm sure that he did. That's my goal tonight. And we'll ask God to enable us to meet those goals, to do what we seek to do for His glory, to magnify His Son and His work, and then to help you. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, for the Word of God, the Word of the Gospel of Grace that you have given to us. And oh, how we do seek to exalt your glorious name. Your name, you have said, is holy and reverend. Oh God, we bow before you. We recognize your greatness. We recognize all of your wonderful attributes. All those things that make you to be God over all, blessed forever. And we gather together to exalt and magnify your only begotten Son, our Savior, and rejoice in His finished work of redemption. rejoice in his work as the great mediator. We rejoice in his great work as our advocate. We're sinful people. We need him, O God, to represent us before you, to take the prayers that we pray, the worship that we offer, and the thanksgiving that we present to you. We need the Savior to bathe them in his blood, and then to anoint them with the very fragrance of his own perfection, and then present them, Father, unto you. We thank you that we have such a glorious Savior. And we had best always do what we're commanded to do in Hebrews 3. Consider our great high priest, Christ Jesus. And then, Lord, help us to be a faithful messenger, and a guide, and a teacher, and an encourager of your people. Lord, there's not a one of your dear saints who don't need some encouragement in this old world. Things happen, things going on around us. Wickedness abounds. False religion grows. Those who lie on you, Father, are so numerous. Help us to always remember that though there's much evil in this world, there's much sinfulness in this world, yet our God governs. Our God reigns. Would you forgive us for our doubts? Forgive us for our worrying. Forgive us for being filled with anxiety. We ought to be the most peaceful and peaceable people on earth. For our God reigns. We rejoice in you. We thank you, Father, for the revelation of your grace to our hearts, for revealing to us the beauties of your Son, and that the work of redemption he set out to do from old eternity, that he's finished it. He's finished it to your satisfaction. And our acceptance before you is never based on how we feel, never based on our faithfulness. It's always based upon the finished work of our dear Redeemer. Oh God, how we thank you for him. Help us to bless his name and honor him tonight. And if we do that, it will be a help to your children. So bless, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You're here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I have a question that I want to put to you this evening. Is your hope a good hope? Is your hope a good hope? The word hope, we've defined it, we did this morning, as an expectation of future goodness and joy and glory. It's a confidence looking toward eternity, that things will work out just exactly like God says they're going to work out. And we find here that this glorious apostle, he writes to the people of God in Thessalonica, and he says to them, and he says to us, here in chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, may he comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Most people in religion, and I think probably most people in general, have some kind of hope of heaven. They have some kind of hope of everlasting life, some kind of hope of entering into a blissful realm when they die. They have a hope. They have a hope. If you ask them, "Are you a Christian?" they may answer, "I hope so." "Are you going to heaven when you die?" "Well, I sure hope so." "Will God welcome you into his glorious paradise?" "Well, I hope so." Most people have some sort of hope of getting to heaven. Now, we know that this matter of salvation is much more than just going to heaven. It's being saved from our sins. But the man of the world, he views things in the ways that I just expressed them. And most people have some kind of hope of getting to heaven. And I have a hope of getting to heaven. Make no mistake about it. I have a hope. I anticipate when I die. I told Nancy today, I said, "You know, we've had a good run. We've been together over 51 years. Now, one of these days, that's going to end. And when it ends for me, when my life ends, I fully anticipate. I have a great confidence. It isn't presumption. I have a great assurance that when I close my eyes here, that I'm gonna see the Savior just like that. When I die, just immediately. There is no soul sleeping. There is no floating around in no man's land till sometime way off in the future. Why, the Savior said to the believing thief, today, right now, you'll be with me in paradise. I have that hope. I believe I'm going to be with him in paradise. I stake my life on it. I'm going to be with him. And that is a hope that's a good hope because it's a good hope based on the grace of God and based on the faithfulness of my Savior who was my representative when he came into this world. Now, I don't have hope that I'm going to be all right in the future based on anything I've ever done. And if your hope is based upon some work you've done or some duty that you've abided by, some law that you've kept or some decision you've made, you don't have a good hope. The only good hope anybody can have is, as this says, a good hope through grace. That's the only way you can have a good hope. And I sure enough don't want to go through this life thinking that I have a good hope and then die and find out too late. I didn't have a good hope. I had a bad hope. People in every denomination, they have a hope that they're going to see the Lord one day, going to be with Him someday. There's some people in Matthew chapter 7. That's one of the saddest portions of Scripture in the Word of God. many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, hadn't we done all these things for you? We did it in your name, in your name, in your name, in your name. Three, the number of orthodoxy. And then to hear him say, I don't know you. You thought you had good hope? You had bad hope. You didn't have any hope at all. And I want you, I want each of you, you who are watching, and I'm doing the same thing myself, I want to examine my hope. Is your hope a good hope? You say, Jim, I have heard this before. You guys preach the same old message all the time. It's what you're always preaching this, and we always will. We're warning people. We're cautioning people. You see, the Word of God, God in His book, He sets forth many wonderful promises, and we love those. But He also sets forth many, many threats. And He'll say things like, beware lest there be found in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in leaving the living God. He always hedges us in, lest we get too comfortable. And say, I believed on the Lord Jesus years ago. Faith is not a one-time thing. Faith is not an isolated instance. This is what's wrong with people who say, I know I'm saved because I remember 25 years ago. I still remember the song they're singing in the pew I'm sitting in. And I had gripped that pew to I think I left my fingerprints on the back of the pew in front of me. And then I just let go. And I let God save me. I know I'm saved. You can't talk me out of it. I know that's the problem. I can't talk you out of it, but maybe God will force it out of you. Because faith is not an isolated thing. Now wait a minute, preacher. I've been baptized. When I was little, I was christened. Now, you don't mean to tell me that meant nothing, do you? That meant something to your mom, dad. And obviously, it means something to you. It means nothing to God. You understand? It means nothing to God. The only thing that matters to God is His Son and His Son's death. That's all that matters to God. He is the Savior God appointed. He's the Savior God chose. God chose Him first and then chose the people in Him. He's the one who matters. And I'll tell you when you're getting real close to the truth. When He matters to you. When the Savior matters to you. And that work of redemption He accomplished. I don't want to go through life with a false hope. And then go off into eternity and people around my bed. And maybe somebody be crying and said, we don't want you to leave. Hey, don't worry about me. I'm fine. And then I go out into eternity and I find I'm not fine. I had false hope. I tell you what Job said. Job said in Job 8 and verse 13, the hypocrite's hope shall perish. It ain't worth anything. Worth nothing. Listen, your hope, you anticipating being received and welcomed into heaven is totally dependent upon our God and His faithfulness and His salvation and His grace and His Word is totally dependent upon Jesus Christ and His substitutionary death. It isn't everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," that's going to enter in. It's he that doeth the will of God. What is the will of God? This is the will of God. Our Lord said this in John chapter 6, that you believe on Him whom He sent. God sent His darling Son into this world, and all the religious world just turned thumbs down on Him. What about you? How does your heart respond to Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross of Calvary? And as honestly as I can tell you, my heart responds this way. This is the Savior I need. The one who laid down His life for the sheep. The one who successfully endured all the wrath of God that I should have endured forever. He endured it for me. He satisfied justice for me. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? That's the issue of the ages. I know how. Through His Son and His Son's glorious atonement. And if you look to Him, if you believe Him, you have a good hope through grace. But if you're leaning on anything you've ever done, you're not going to come to a good end. Why is this hope that Paul talks about here, why is it called a good hope through grace? Let me give you, I'll give you briefly, seven things. It's a good hope because it's a hope that comes from a good God. It's a good hope because it's a hope that comes from a good God. Listen to this, Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope, see, He's the source of hope. He's the giver of hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. That's what I want, to abound in hope. I want to have a good hope and I want to abound in it. I want to have lots of it. But I have my bad spells just like you do. Honesty. Somebody tells me, well, I've never doubted. I've never been troubled about it. Ever since I came to the Lord Jesus, I've never doubted one minute. I'd question either their honesty or their memory. Because we struggle. Do you struggle? That's what I'm talking about. I want to help people. Preachers, some preachers, they just preach down to people. Like, what do you mean you have a doubt? You shouldn't do that. Well, no, we shouldn't. But let's just be honest with people. What was it Barnard said? Honest people don't wind up in hell. Let's just be honest. We do doubt. We have our fears. And I'm sorry. It's not good. It's sinful. It's sinful. But I have a good God who gave me a good hope through grace. He gave me hope. And I know sometimes I have my struggles like you do. But I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Here's the second thing. It's a good hope because it's based on the fulfillment of the promises of God. Look with me in Acts chapter 26. Look at Acts chapter 26. Here Paul is before Agrippa. And let me just read you a few verses here. Acts 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Acts 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand. He answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. All these people know me, know how I was raised, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise God, for the hope of the promise made of God unto our hearts. The hope of the promise of God. What was the hope of the promise of God? Now remember, all of the Word of God they had then was what? The Old Testament. That's all they had. And all of the saints of God in the Old Testament, they had a good hope through grace. And their hope was in, they fully expected that one day the seed of the woman was coming. Let me show you, look back with me in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14. Jeremiah, chapter 14. Look at verse 7. And here's a man who's honest before God. His name's Jeremiah. Look at verse 7. O Lord, Jeremiah 14:7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. Show us mercy. Show us grace. For our backslidings are many. We've sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Savior. You see, the hope of God's true Israel is somebody. All of the people of God in the Old Testament, they all look for the hope of Israel. The hope of God's true Israel. And the hope of God's true Israel is somebody. And they anticipated His coming. They didn't know when He was going to come, but they believed that He was going to come. They waited for His coming. Yeah, there were some people on earth who were waiting for His coming and actually saw Him. Like Simeon in the temple and Anna in the temple. And other saints of God. Now watch this. Oh, the hope of Israel. The Savior thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land? And as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Here's what the prophet of God is saying. We want you to come. We want you to come and we want you to stay. And you know, those of us who know God, who love the gospel, We can say this today, but by His Spirit, all hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why would you be a stranger? We don't want you to be a stranger in this land as a wayfaring man who just turns aside to stay for a night and then moves on. We don't want you to be like that. We want you to come and stay. That's what I want for our church family. I want Him to come and stay with us by His Spirit. Look at verse 9. Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished? As a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us. And we are called by thy name. Leave us not. I love this language. Lord, don't be as a wayfaring man. Come and stay with us here at 13th Street Baptist Church. Abide with us. Don't be like a wayfaring man. Lord, stay with us. And we know you are in the midst of us. And we're called by thy name. But we're not presumptive. Don't leave us. Don't you love that honesty? Don't leave us. You see, this is a good hope because it's based on the fulfillment of God. And all of these saints of God waited and looked for Him. And lo, one day, the hope of Israel, He came. Oh, joyous day, He came. I know most people had no use for Him, but there were some people who were thankful He came. And ever since He came, there have been many people who blessed the name of God that He came. And we got some of them here tonight. Say, thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. You see, what is the hope of the promise of God unto the fathers? That He would send His Son. And then here's the third thing. It's a good hope because it's built on a good foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid by God, which is Christ Jesus. And we love that passage of Scripture over there in Matthew chapter 7. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Foolish man built his house on the sand. Everybody in religion is building some kind of house in which you think you'll be safe forever. Oh, God, help us to build all of our hopes on Christ crucified. I tell you, God accepts people for Christ's sake. And He forgives people for Christ's sake. And He loves people in Christ Jesus. He forgives people. He pardons people. He makes people righteous in Christ Jesus, who is the Lord our righteousness. But if you miss His Son, you miss every good thing that God has. It's a good hope because it's built on a good foundation. And then fourthly, it's a good hope because it deals with good things. It deals with good things. Good things like forgiveness. Good things like righteousness. Good things like peace. Good things like everlasting life. Good things like acceptance by a holy God. Good things like eternity in glory with Christ Jesus. Good things. It's a good hope through grace because it deals with good things. And it's a good hope because it deals with good things, and even in this life, and you read it this morning, He'll make all things in your life to work together for what? Your good. Your good. You've heard that promise hundreds of times, some of you. And hundreds of times it goes in one ear and out the other. That's the way we are. But it's still the truth. It's good because it deals with good things of someday being with Christ Jesus and like Christ Jesus. It deals with this good thing. Oh, one of these days I'll be done with sin. Whew. Oh. My biggest problem is not the world. My biggest problem is me. That's where the doubts come from, the fears, the thoughts, the wrong motives, all that evil. Yep. What's got to happen? Well, you die. And then that's it for sin. No wonder Bunyan said, "Don't weep for me." Standing around his bedside and is all crying. His kids and what he had, about 8 kids, I guess it was. One of them a little blind girl. All of them crying. He said, "Don't weep for me. I go yonder to glory. Weep for yourselves. You got to stay here." Tell you what, the day of a child of God's death, it is for them a glorious day. Glorious. And then it's a good hope because it is all of grace. It's all of electing grace. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. That makes me happy. Not going to get any quarrel out of me. I know if he hadn't chosen me, I wouldn't have any interest in the gospel. If you know anything about your own depravity, you wouldn't have either. People who get all upset over the doctrine of election, they just hadn't seen what they are by nature. If God ever shows you what you are, you'll say, "Oh Lord, I sure am glad you chose me. You didn't leave me to myself. Didn't leave me to my silly free will. I'm glad you interrupted my fatal plunge toward hell. I'm glad you got in the way. I'm glad you violated my free will," as they say. And I say even now, "Lord, violate my will still." "Not my will. Thy will be done." Justification, justified freely by His grace. Freely, another word we love, without a cause in us. It's all by grace. He died for me. Oh, what grace. That someone so glorious would take the place and die the death of someone who is so wicked. It's all of grace because He opens the heart like the Lord did for Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. Oh, bless the name of God, He opened our hearts. Our hearts were barred against the truth, no interest in the truth. And then one came in and made a welcome for Himself. That's what He did. He made us willing in the day of His power. Oh, it's a good hope, and it's a good hope because it consists of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 says that. You see, He's not only with you by His Spirit. He said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." But He's in you. And you're in Him. We've always been in Him. We've always been one with Christ Jesus. I can't perish. He'd have to perish. in order for me to perish, because I'm in Him. That's our eternal union. It's a good hope because it consists of Christ in you. And lastly, it's a good hope because the person who has this good hope has the hope of righteousness. Look at Galatians chapter 5. And we'll get out of here. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 5. Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We wait for the hope, for the anticipation of righteousness by faith. When we shall be righteous inside and outside, thoroughly, body and soul. What is our anticipation? What is our expectation? To be received by God for Christ's sake, because He is our righteousness. He established righteousness for us by His obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. And I do believe, God, that it will be just as He has promised, don't you? God said, He that hath the Son of God hath life. I think I'll just cling to that. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. I'm going to grab hold of that. You can believe God's Word. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or presidents or prime ministers. But you sure can believe Him. And if you believe His Son, you got everlasting life. Isn't that something? Even you. So I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. It's not how much you know, it's who you know. It's knowing Him. Knowing Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Him. Do you have a good hope? Do you have a good hope? Lord, send us away thinking about and meditating on the things that have been heard tonight and this morning. Lord, if we haven't had a good hope before, oh God, give us a good hope right now. Give us a faith look at Christ Jesus. Give us a look that will always look to Him. Give us a faith, a confidence in the Son of God who loved sinners and gave Himself for sinners. Oh Lord, here we are. We're just a group of sinners. And we struggle through this life. We have doubts and fears. And Lord, You know, because can't hide anything from You. But You also know that deep down in our souls, You have created life. That's spiritual life. And You've given us the gift of faith. You've given us the gift of hope. And You've given us the gift of love. And one of these days we'll see the dear Savior, and faith will be exchanged for sight. And a hope, well, that will be exchanged for reality. And love, it'll just be perfected. And we'll love the Savior like He's deserving to be loved. And we'll worship Him and adore Him forever and ever and ever. Oh, blessed day. Oh God, may that blessed hope come to pass soon, when the Lord Jesus shall come in glory, and every eye shall see Him. And then we shall be perfected, body and soul. We shall see Him as He is, and we'll be with Him forever and ever. Hasten the day, O Lord, and until then, abide with us. Don't be as a wayfaring man. Not just to visit with us and then leave, but, oh God, by Your Spirit, stay with us. Stay with all of Your people, all of Your congregations, all of the assemblies of the righteous. Lord, stay with us. O Thou hope of Israel, our Savior, we bless Your name and thank You for all things, for Christ's sake. Amen.